We need to sit down and talk about postpartum. It's the period immediately after delivering your baby. And the mystery behind postpartum is that postpartum is forever.
Sometimes moms get overlooked in terms of their emotional health and their mental health because you expect her to just get up and get going. Welcome back to Lights, Camera, Baby. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome back our wonderful friend, Kafilwe Sebenya. We'll dive into a topic close to the hearts of many families, postpartum care. Why do we need to stop and rest?
Maternal mental health is a pandemic. It is a crisis. Nobody's talking about it.
It's really important for moms to reach out when you're feeling helpless.
I think a lot of women go into maternity leave with no clear understanding of that it is actually your constitutional right to take time off.
I love that you say that. Sorry, this is like the first time I heard of postpartum planning. I wish I knew this.
You need to know, where are you going to sleep? What are you going to eat? What are you going to wear? Who's going to look after you? Who's going to look after baby? I've seen many women fall into that trap.
What kind of nutrition should we be focusing on during that postpartum time?
I've had a client who recently asked me, why are you using so many Indian spices? And I was like, because of the...
How do we then help moms to communicate their needs and their expectations and their boundaries to their family and friends and employers during that time? Kafilwe, thank you so much for joining us today. We're really, really excited to get into this conversation with you. You have all the experience and all the knowledge we know. So thank you so much for sharing your insights today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're very excited. We know you've helped lots of moms as a doula and as a childbirth educator. And we want to spread the word, obviously, and share more with our audience. So today we're talking postpartum, right? And the importance of rest and recovery. Now, I mean, let's just start there, postpartum. What is postpartum, firstly?
Okay, so postpartum, it's the period immediately after delivering your baby. It's post-birth. Basically. Okay. And, you know, the mystery behind or the story around postpartum is that postpartum is forever. Once you have that baby, it's ongoing, right? Because the healing process and recovery process is quite, it's ongoing. But when we talk about immediate postpartum, we're talking about in different spaces, in different parts of the world, postpartum can be the first 40 days. Mm-hmm. Or rather, it can be observed or during the first 40 days in South Africa. We talk about the first 6 weeks as well. So that is postpartum. So the postpartum period is a period where mom has just had her baby and it is just that confinement period.
Okay, great. So now that we've set that in place and all our moms understand, because we know we've got lots of moms that have had their babies already, and there are lots of moms that are about to have their babies. Right, that are listening to this today. So I want to talk about the importance of rest and recovery during postpartum. Why is that so essential and how does it impact your recovery? You know, because we're such busy moms and women, you know, we can't sit still.
Yes.
It's very difficult to sit still. So now we have baby and we're supposed to stop. And we can't help ourselves sometimes. But why do we need to stop and rest?
We need to stop and rest because, first of all, your body has been going through so many changes for the past 9 months, right? And birth is quite emotional and physical as well. Mm-hmm. And it has a major impact on a woman's body. So the importance of rest during this period is just for women, it encourages also the bonding time with your baby, but also just to be in the right mental space and emotionally and physically as well. And it just allows you to just go back, not really, I don't want to use the word go back, but it's just a period where a woman just manages to relax and just the recovery process, actually, you know,
Now, practically speaking, how does that translate to practical strategies that we can implement as families to ensure that our moms get the rest that they need? What can we do?
Yes. So I'm very big on postpartum planning, right? Mm-hmm. And when I talk to families, I talk about when we do the postpartum planning, we talk about who's going to be part of the family at that time.
I love that you say that. Sorry, this is like the first time I heard of postpartum planning. I wish I knew this. But you know, we so often hear about birth planning,
yes.
you know, planning for your birth.
Yes.
You know, and so rarely are we talking about postpartum planning.
Yes. Postpartum planning is just as important as planning your wedding. Because you need to know, where are you going to sleep? What are you going to eat? What are you going to wear? Who's going to look after you? Who's going to look after baby?
Mm.
You know, and it's important to know and plan for the whole, like for the family structure. And I usually encourage parents to say, we need to sit down and talk about postpartum, because that's when we discuss issues like meal trains. I've had couples that are like, what do you mean a meal train?
Yeah.
And I say to them, you know, during if somebody offers you something, like to buy you something for your baby shower,
mm-hmm.
Talk about the meals that you're going to eat. Now we actually talk about meal planning for your postpartum. We talk about if you're going to hire a postpartum doula, or if you're going to have for women that have got access to like extended relatives as well, who's going to join you during that time. So postpartum planning is as important as knowing where you're going to give birth, your gynecologist, you know, or
yes.
if you're going to have midwife led care so it's quite broad. And what matters is what is important to the family, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've had moms that say to me, this is my third baby, and what is important for me this time around is to just rest.
Yeah.
So I just need somebody to look after me, somebody that will know that, you know, the meal trains. I spend a lot of time in the kitchen for my clients because they like nutrition.
Yes.
Because nutrition depletion is quite a serious problem during that time as
really?
Well.
Really?
Yes.
Why so?
Because like I said, the body has gone through a lot physically,
mm-hmm.
Carrying your baby. And, you know, the pregnancies are not the same. We have instances where pre-eclampsia, you know, where a woman suffered or went through pre-eclampsia during pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And it does exist as well during postpartum. Right. And that is why it's important to plan for nutritionally dense meals for the woman, because of being starved at that period in your life can actually can have a dear impact on your well-being.
So probably thinking as moms, we think, well, you know, baby's out, I can go back to eating normally. I want to lose all my baby weight,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So I don't need to eat much. I need to watch this. But this can actually, you're saying that this actually could be detrimental to their recovery.
Yes.
Hmm.
Absolutely.
And we could so easily fall into that trap.
I've seen many women fall into that trap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That can be scary. So let's talk about that nourishment and healing through nutrition, right? How does nutrition affect your overall wellness, and what kind of nutrition should we be focusing on during that postpartum time?
Look, when we talk about nutrition during postpartum, you know, when we go back to the history of postpartum rituals, for instance, in different parts of the world, one of the common factor is what mom eats. So it's rest, it's meals, and keeping warm, right? Mm. And I usually say to my clients, the first 5 days, we make sure that you do not leave. Like, the only time I want to see you off that bed is when you go to the bathroom, right? And then the next 5 days, when you are at 10 days, then that's when I can allow mom to move around and probably just also spend some time with the younger children as well. But talking about nutrition, it benefits women so to a point where I've seen how a mom who's at risk of having postpartum depression,
mm-hmm.
it's due to being nutritionally starved. It's not being able to have that balanced meals as well during postpartum, because I mean, your body has lost, it's gone through so much trauma. And we talk about providing iron-rich meals for the mom.
Mm.
We talk about warm meals as well, because of the body has gone through so much trauma. And if women, and if we don't educate women to eat warm foods, because right now we just like, I'll just order something on Uber Eats, right?
Yeah.
And by the time it comes
have a sandwich, have a salad. Sandwich,
right? The salad, yes. And so it's also the type of foods, and it's common in wherever we go, every part of the world, you'll see that it's the warm foods are important, right?
Mm.
And And I think we are slowly but surely going back to that, where women are aware of that. And also because of our lifestyles are demanding.
Mm.
So nutrition plays a very important role, even during pregnancy, right? And as much as we emphasize on that during pregnancy, the same applies
mm-hmm.
as well for postpartum, because also it benefits the not only the mother, but the child as well. Because then mom is able to produce breast milk.
So if we look at particular foods, that we should be consuming during that time. I know you talked about iron-rich foods and then foods that will encourage milk production. Yes. What kind of foods are you looking at?
I'm talking about your soups. My typical menu for a postpartum mom, it's mm-hmm. your soup, your porridge. It's like we talk about sorghum porridge. We talk about oats. And we talk, smoothies. If a mom insists that, I would rather have a smoothie. I do tap into that as well. So those are the, soft, warm foods.
And as far as protein is concerned?
And protein as well. Protein is very, very important. So you'll see how I always, the way I plan the meals for my moms, it's protein, fiber-rich foods as well. Because of, like I'm saying, at that time we have issues like constipation, during postpartum. And it's something that women are shy to talk about. Because it's like, why should I talk about that? And I've seen how it's a silent issue.
So not eating the right foods can actually make the constipation worse during postpartum.
Yes. And I've noticed comparing for C-section moms and the natural deliveries with C-section moms, it's quite extreme with them also, because, they've gone through this major surgery, right? And that is why I also encourage women to look at fermented food items, for instance. So I'm the postpartum doula that will offer you sauerkraut. If I offer a sandwich, then I'll probably have sauerkraut. I'll have avo. I'll add a bit of baked beans as well, and just tomatoes. So and of course the protein. So it's very important. And I've noticed, as I'm doing this work, I've noticed how nutrition plays a very, very big role for women during this period.
That's amazing. Now, I'm sure different cultures have different nuances as well.
Yes.
Have you noticed, can you give us any examples culturally of different cultures leaning towards certain foods?
Yes. For instance, like in South Africa, we're such a diverse nation. And I've noticed that, for instance, the Botswana, I'm Botswana, and most of my work is based on that, right? Mm-hmm. So we're very big on the grains, the sorghum, the protein, right? But the funny thing is, I've noticed that it's not about the differences. We all have the same common practices. I mean, I've seen with the Malaysian cultures as well, it's the type of soups that they drink, right? I've also been offering a chai tea to my clients as well, because I'm incorporating the different food types as well. And I've had a client who recently asked me, why are you using so many Indian spices? And I was like, because of the warming properties, and it benefits the woman, because the intention is for a mom to keep warm.
Absolutely. Well, and the turmeric and the cinnamon and those kind of spices, right?
Yes. That are So I've noticed how I really just blend type of foods as well for women, just to, but if there's anything that is common, that is a common practice, is the soft foods first.
Okay. And that's for easier digestion.
So then it's your soups, it's your porridges as well, and the teas.
Now, when we look at, like we talked about, diverse cultural approaches to postpartum healing, not just on the nourishment and the nutrition side, but generally, there's different traditions, I'm sure, that you've come across as well. Can you share some of these beautiful traditions that you possibly have come across that you've encountered in your practice?
Yes. One that I recently encountered was like a naming ceremony for the mom, the baby.
For the baby.
Yes. And also there was just this expectation that mom should look a certain way, because then baby was going to be introduced to the rest of the family, right? So it was more of a glitz and glam event, right?
Yeah.
Which for me, it was like such cultural taboo, because of where I come from, we don't encourage women to snap back that quick. So for me, when the baby turned a month and already they had this celebration planned. I was like, when is mom going to rest? Because then you see this woman so anxious
planning this event
and making sure that she will look the part, and also just forcing that recovery, because my child's naming ceremony has to take place.
Of course.
So those are the type of differences I've also seen in the space. I've also seen how, for instance, where I come from, the 40 days or 3 months, it's non-negotiable. So you're not allowed to spend some time outside. The only time you leave the home is when you go perhaps for doctor's appointments, which I've also seen the conflict, because according to the World Health Organization, mm-hmm. there's now a new requirement that at day 3, moms should check in, and it's affecting moms that are giving birth in government facilities, because then you've just been discharged, but after a few days you're expected to go check in the hospital, right? Yes. At your local clinic, just to make sure. And just so I've seen that conflict amongst communities, where the elders are like, what is this? When a woman comes back from giving birth, you stay in, you stay put, also because of the rituals that they observe, right? Yeah, so I've seen that, those challenges as well. I've also seen the different foods. For instance, recently I supported a family, not the same culture as me, right? And the type of foods as well, where the grandmother was quite specific to say that this is the type of meal plan that we need to follow. Right. Or the mom as well. And also, it's mainly also with the herbal teas. I've noticed that the big change is what mom drinks post-birth. So you'll find that certain cultures, there will be like the certain teas that she needs to drink so that she heals. And then with my culture, we are very big on organ meat.
Okay.
Because of
the iron, right?
Yes, for the iron. Right. Yeah. And also because of a woman has gone through so much opening physically, you need to eat the foods from that livestock, or parts of the livestock that will also heal you in the inside, right? So then, and also, I realized that, oh my goodness, the wisdom of our grannies, because
absolutely.
It is like we're talking about protein.
Yes. And tell me, what is belly binding still very important across cultures?
Yes, across cultures, I have seen, this is so funny, because according to the Botswana culture, I started belly binding probably a day or two post-birth with my first. Mm-hmm. And I've seen how other cultures are like, no, we do it like after 10 or 20 days or after a month, right? With us, like the grannies don't play. They just
wrap
you up, right?
Yeah.
But the trend as well, women are going back to that. I've noticed a lot of inquiries about belly binding. And also now there's a misconception about the type of belly binds that are on the market, right? Because we also have to be mindful of the pelvic floor area. And also because of right now, everybody's just trying to bind their bellies without the knowledge, or also without being guided by. So I've seen women trying to single-handedly do that.
Mm-hmm.
However, it does require guidance as well.
Yes, because I mean, before they would use it with a fabric to wrap.
Yes.
And then we noticed that there was new products launched that, you know, where you could just snap it around your waist, and so conveniently, so much easier to use. You don't need somebody to help you and wrap it around you instead, and so much easier to take out as well. But it is interesting. It obviously is quite effective. And then there's underwear that's now, working, can work as well, so it's become a lot more convenient, thankfully.
Convenient, and it caters now for the family structure right now, for the type of women that need that, right? And we do acknowledge that. I think we've also just moved around away from the fact that not everybody's got the support. So also the convenience. So women are going for products that are quite convenient for them, because you're alone and you want to do the belly binding, right? But I always tell my clients, what matters most is that you've got access to that resource. And that is what is important.
Absolutely. So let's move on to mental health now, and, that emotional well-being. Now, we know that this is often overlooked in postpartum. I mean, everybody is so excited that baby has arrived, and it's all about baby and making baby comfortable. And sometimes moms get overlooked in terms of their emotional health and their mental health, because you're expected to just get up and get going and move on as though it is, you know, 9 months before and nothing's happened. So what are we prioritizing mental health today? Are enough women postpartum and their families prioritizing their mental health and well-being?
Not at all.
Sadly so.
Sadly so, not at all. I've seen women reach out 3 or 6 months postpartum and they had been alone. There are women that actually post-birth, they get home and they are alone.
Alone, yeah.
And also their pregnancy journeys. I've seen how women have suffered tremendously due to the type of pregnancies that they had, right?
Mm.
And I think there's not a lot of investment towards mental health or maternal health, maternal mental health support. So it is quite a big challenge, right? And services like having a postpartum doula is often looked as if it's a luxury.
Mm.
However, the family structure, there are women that do not have the support. Mm. There are women that come from a background where there's no grandmothers, there's no aunts, there's no mother mm. available, and you get home and this baby. I've also recently experienced, I've witnessed how a woman had gone through an IVF journey. And she had tried for so many years. And now that the baby was here, it was all about the baby. And then what about her?
Mm.
And my emphasis on we need to, because all the red flags were there, withdrawal as well, feelings of guilt, like, do I really want to do this? You know, it's one thing to want a baby and to have your baby.
Yeah.
And yes, so you see a woman going through all of those challenges. When society realizes that maybe it's your second or your third baby, then everybody's like, no, you're skilled, you've got
yeah.
this. And with every pregnancy, it's different,
that's
right?
True.
And we're going through different phases of our life. So it is, maternal mental health is a pandemic. It is a crisis mm-hmm. and nobody's talking about it.
Now, as moms, I mean, okay, for partners, both partners that are listening, families that are listening, and for moms themselves, what are the signs to look out for and where do we go for help?
Yeah. So the signs to look out for, like I mentioned earlier, some women do not connect with their babies, right? Mm. When you get into a room and mom passes the baby to you, it can happen once or twice, but the third time, you know, the pattern, then you're yes. like, okay. Also some women, it is quite, what's the word that I'm looking for? They can't even hide it. You'll find a woman that she's just hysterical. She doesn't understand what is happening. She does not want to do, even try out breastfeeding. She does not want to connect with the baby. So for the families that are listening, you know, those are the small signs. When mom says, I cannot sleep, most of them also, they're just exhausted,
mm.
right? And so it's important while planning for your postpartum journey to also have certain routines in place or plan for childcare, for instance, for the siblings. And like I said, also who's going to look after the home. I've seen a postpartum mom crying because she has to clear up the house. And the baby is crying as well.
Mm.
So there's a lot of, it differs. We've got baby blues where mom says, and that is normal. That's the hormonal drop.
Right.
So the first few days, mom will be like, I don't know how I'm feeling. I'm just so quite emotional,
yeah.
feeling overwhelmed, you know. And then for like the next 2 or 3 weeks, when a woman still, the feelings are still consistent. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, she does not want to bond with her baby. And also you can see it's quite visible that she's not getting enough rest. Those are also some of, and then we also have the clinical postpartum depression symptoms as well.
Okay.
You know, like I'm talking about the hysteria, women raising their voice, declaring, or some of them even hallucinate.
Right.
Say, I've just heard my baby crying, or, you know, she's not looking after my baby well, etc. So that's when you also realize that there is a, chemical drop or imbalance in that situation where a woman will need more than the physical support in the house, where she needs then a family member to say, hey, can we check this out, or let's go for a doctor's or schedule a doctor's appointment.
So I think obviously it's really, really important for moms to reach out when you're feeling helpless.
Yeah.
And for partners to reach out and get help. For moms who are going through this, because it isn't something easy to go alone on this journey, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that's why our doulas are there. We have professionals, therapists, family clinics that are available as well. So don't leave it too long, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now let's talk about that postpartum plan. Let's go back there, right? For moms who are going to get to this stage now, and they want to start their plan. How can they create an effective postpartum plan that reflects their needs and their values and their lifestyle, I suppose?
Yeah, I like that question, because while working on or establishing a postpartum plan, it's important to highlight exactly what you've just mentioned, their lifestyles as well. I've seen women try to plan for postpartum based on what is on social media, trying to make sure that the nursery looks pretty, and they think that that is postpartum planning, right? But what is important is knowing where is my next meal coming from? Who's going to prepare the meal for me? The house help as well. So you need to be considerate of your lifestyle and your family situation. For instance, if it's a single mom, then I always emphasize on that to say we need to have certain plans in place to make sure that you feel adequately supported. So if it means hiring extra help, hiring a postpartum doula, hiring a full-time nanny, that is okay.
Yep.
If it means requesting a meal train as well from family and friends, that is also okay.
Yep.
But also for the couple, I always say, I have this conversation between husband and wives, and the wife will be like, so how is my husband going to contribute, or how can he contribute to this? And I always say, there's this misconception that the only things that men contribute to our postpartum journey is being financially stable or contributing in that aspect. But having your partner understand the basic things of baby caring, for instance, the type of meals. So I take them through, like, we have like a postpartum grocery list where I'm like, this is the items that we need. And I take them through the meal preparations, where we actually do it before mom goes into labor. Okay. Right. So that's just another way of just bringing the husband in, or the partner in, into, so that they're not in shock. Imagine asking the dad, can you have the bone broth ready for mom? And he's like, what is that? So also familiarizing men and fathers about certain traditions. I've also encouraged fathers to ask their moms or their grannies that, what did you take during postpartum? And also just to blend the two backgrounds.
Oh,
and the
brilliant.
You know, it's one thing also just to keep father, and also for them to actually feel acknowledged as well in that space.
Now, before we conclude this episode, the last part of this conversation is talking about, obviously, navigating expectations and returning to work, right? So we've got modern moms, modern challenges. How do we navigate that from postpartum to getting ready and going back into the workplace?
You know, one of the most difficult part about my job is trying to convince women that they do not have to snap back. You know, there's certain timelines or time frames that women put upon themselves, right? About, like, people have got this idea about what postpartum, what should happen. The first few weeks, baby's just going to sleep, so I can start taking out my laptop and doing some work, right?
Yeah.
And, but what is important is also understanding your maternity leave and planning based on the maternity leave that you have available, right?
Oh, of course.
And also putting systems in place, or people around you, that will help you reach your target. I think the word target is not, because then women then still perform when you talk about
targets. You talk about targets.
Oh, targets, yes. Right? But I always tell my mommies, on your wish list or your to-do list, we need to, like, we've had an instance where we planned for an auto reply. mm-hmm. on WhatsApp messages, and we planned it that far because this mom was a corporate woman. And she's like, actually, because I'm gonna set up for my emails, I like the idea that you've given me about also establishing auto replies for my WhatsApp messages, for yep. instance, just so that everybody respects the fact that I'll be spending time with my baby. So yes, they, you know, postpartum is very. We've had women that have to go back to work after 10 days. And unfortunately, that is the reality. And postpartum is not the same.
Yes.
For women, you know, I've seen women force themselves out of their homes because of they need to go back to work.
That's crazy. But how do we then help moms to communicate their needs and their expectations and their boundaries, you know, to their family and friends and employers during that time?
You know, you know, this topic is such a lived experience for me because, you know, it's my day-to-day issues yes. that we come up with, that I come across. And one of the most difficult ones is seeing a woman reach out and say, I want a postpartum doula. And in many instances, I've been the one that blocks the world away from mom to say that this is what we've planned and this is what she had requested. I've had moms that have asked me to, can you be the one that announces that I've given birth and that we'll be checking out of the hospital and then I'll be at home, right? Yes. So communication is very, very important and setting boundaries. And it's okay
yeah.
to say no. I think that is one of the things that I always educate my moms on, to say, I know it will be hard to say to your mother that actually I'm not ready to talk to extended relatives. I've seen how a granny has walked into the room and she's calling everybody saying, oh my goodness, you need to see the baby. Come through, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. And also with work, it's important that women, as much as a birth doula, I educate women on knowing the policies of the
workplace,
you know, the workplace, and yeah. also their birth facilities, but okay. also understand your maternity leave benefits.
Yes,
right, and also know your rights. In terms of that, I think a lot of women go into maternity leave with no clear understanding of that it is actually your constitutional right to take time off.
Yep.
Right, and it has seemed, and other people think it's a luxury, and women have been conditioned to believe that it yep. is a luxury, whereas it is actually. Just, I mean, you've gone through something so physical and you do deserve the rest for your mental health.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, that's so important. And together with boundaries, boundaries, boundaries is obviously communicate, communicate, it's communicate, right? Because I think also family and friends and your circle, even your work colleagues, they all care about you.
Yeah.
They all want to know that you're okay. And when they don't hear from you, they are concerned, you know, and that's why, like you're saying, having somebody who sends that message out for you, if you can't send it out yourself, to say that baby's home, we're fine, yes. baby's healthy, and we're going to be resting, and I won't be in communication for this period.
Yes.
You know, just letting people know, I think.
Just letting people know. And I think, we are now in a time where women are starting to communicate better.
Yep.
And also just talking about boundaries, how, you know, a newborn baby is such a community. It's a big thing for us, right?
Yes.
And women have now since started speaking up to say, I also have to set boundaries for myself, for my well-being as well. So I agree with you. It's very important that women communicate this as well, even with their employers. I've seen moms replying to an email just before heading to theater.
So, Kafiwa, where do our moms find people like yourselves, doulas, that are going to help them with this? What kind of resources are available to our moms if they don't have their own family and own friends that they could include in their circle, or if those people are too busy? How do they go about this?
You know, we are in a space where women have got access, you know, social media.
Of course.
Social media. And I've also had to teach the most introverted clients to start socializing, because once you have a child, everything like just changes, right?
Yes.
So joining mommy groups, for instance, you know, yes. there's always that mom that knows a doula or knows someone that had a doula.
Yes.
So
that has a good reference for it.
That has got a very good reference for it. But also for postpartum support, I must say that it is not a service that has been well advertised in terms of, you know, women do not have access to postpartum doulas unless they truly, truly do search, right?
Yes.
I know that not everybody can easily find a doula. I've had women say, this is my fourth child and this time I want a postpartum doula. I had no idea that what a postpartum doula does, right? So, yeah, so, but like I said, the mommy groups, there's websites as well.
Wonderful.
I don't know. Maybe I'll share them at the end of this conversation to say there's they can look up on these.
Yeah, you can do that. Absolutely.
Yes. For instance, we've got like Doulas of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell women when I've got an opportunity to say, Doulas of South Africa. It's a membership based organization where doulas that have trained from different organizations are listed on there.
Okay.
And it serves different areas. It's in South Africa. It's
wonderful.
It's for doulas.
So you'll find somebody in your area.
So you'll find somebody in your area. And if you can't find somebody in your area, then somebody else will refer. You know, there's always referrals amongst us as doulas. So there are websites out there. Also Midwife Cafe, there's a postpartum care website where women do, they are listing of, there's a few listings of postpartum doulas.
Wonderful. Well, Kavir, well, thank you so very much for that. That has been extremely, extremely intriguing and inspiring and important, I think, for our mums to have heard, to understand that they're not alone on this journey, that there are people out there to help them. So we thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your insights.
Thank you very much.
Kavir, well, thank you so much for a meaningful conversation and for sharing your wisdom and helping families understand that postpartum care is not a one-size-fits-all experience. Remember, postpartum recovery thrives when families embrace rest, nourishment, emotional wellness, and the richness of your cultural traditions. It's okay to seek support, whether from family, professionals, or trusted communities. You deserve a postpartum period filled with healing, care, and joy. Until next time, I'm Progeny Patha, wishing you wellness, strength, and gentle days ahead.